How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
You know, when good morning, and when Henry and his family made that promo about 10 years ago, none of us would have imagined it would be like that. But where are America's leaders? Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And as you know, we have an audience in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And people from anywhere in the USA or around the world can listen by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And I encourage you to always let people know that we're here, because we do want to share positive news and information. And of course, sometimes we also have to report some difficult things that are happening in the media. I would like to say a special thank you to our panel members who help us each and every week, as they are providing news and information that is important to us who support American Workers and the Buy American Made campaign and are very, very loyal to America. They include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, and his link is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You can click on it. Mark has thousands of 10,000 products, 100% made in the USA. And you can also listen to Mark Andel's show right under that link. It is Made in America radio show heard each and every Saturday from the Buffalo, New York area. Also, Larkin Conley, the National Small Business Advocate, Rich Loges, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, always happy to hear from you and be with you here to talk about common sense issues. You know, it certainly has been a hot and humid time of the year in Philadelphia, and I hear that the weather all over the USA has been kind of hot and humid, and I can say that because we have listeners from various states who let us know that they tune in and are very supportive of what we do, even promoting National Small Business Weekend and things like that. And in November, we'll be once again supporting and promoting November as American Made Month. Now, but enjoy your vacation and let's enjoy the good things in life. I never stop urging people that stop me. I tell them, vote with your dollars. And I urge everyone to do that. All of you listening right now, please do vote with your dollars. Look for American Made and American First, because you know then that the people on the other end are being paid from the point of production to the point of sale, and they certainly have to spend their dollars on products and services. And I urge all of them to also look for American Made, so that everybody knows, especially our national leaders, know what the hell is going on. It's not very pleasant. You know, in my travels too, people tell me, you know, Michael, prices have gone up too much in recent months. So what they're telling me is that they're making some very hard choices to save money. Gas alone has added a lot to the cost of getting to work and going shopping. Utilities are rising. Even the price of coffee has gone way up. No matter how much you earn a week, it's getting harder to save money, and that's not good for Americans and American workers and all of America's family, just to pay those bills for the weekly and monthly cost of living. But before I continue, I'm going to ask each and every one of our panel members with us to tell us what's happening with them and what they think is going to be our future. And I want to say one more thing before I turn to Mark Andel. I'm asking all of you to remember, money never sleeps. Money never sleeps. Money is always needed to pay bills. Money is needed by businesses to pay employees. And money makes the world go round. And that means no matter if you're traveling or whatever you're doing, you need money. So let's try to keep that money more here in the United States by supporting American-made businesses and, of course, American workers. Mark, how are you doing? What's happening in your neck of the woods?
How you doing, Mike? Great to hear from you. And Rich, I think, is on, Larkin and Henry. And just want to say, you know, good morning, America, here. We've got a lot going on. Mike, you talked about leadership, you know, in your opening comments, and we absolutely need a leader. I prove it here if I'm away or come back. People need direction. Otherwise, things start to fall apart, and they start to act on their own. And you need a leader to keep everything in line. I've got some news. You know, I text before the show, and I ask some people to listen to a message. And I want to talk about the product shortage again and the worker shortage. And you always got the rapid inflation, which is killing a lot of things, too. But my big thing, Mike, I had a couple businesses locally close within the last week, two that I've dealt with. One for all my life, really, named Hodgson Pool. And it's sad because they were in business 63 years. Now they were the number one premier pool company in Western New York, and lawn and garden and care equipment, lawn equipment for landscapers and whatnot. But sad to hear them go out. But I had the guys call the number, and knowing the family and knowing how hard they worked, it was sad to hear that it was because of product shortage in the pool business and in the lawn and garden business, couldn't get products, and the shortness, non-unavailability of workers. And I bring that up because the pool industry is booming. You know, people were at home during the pandemic. They're putting money in their homes. They couldn't go to work. They stayed at home and did work from home. They put pools in. I've got another buddy that does pools. Pools are sold out till next year. But the shortages come. There's no chlorine, which was a major seller in cash cow for the businesses, and no parts and products you couldn't get. So you got the heavy demand, all the demand you wanted, but no products. And Larkin, you could relate. But to hear the message, they actually had so many calls, they put it on their message machine. And to hear that the main reasons were product shortage and worker shortage is sad. And I had another business close about 20 miles from me that was actually had our store and store in it. Same problem, product shortage and worker shortage. And hearing this and hitting close to home, and I'm hearing these left and right, Mike. And my concern is we're not hearing it on the national level at all on any news channel, even Fox or whatever. Last night, World News had a little piece that consumer, the dollar isn't going to go as far for the consumer. They said your bonus and your raise won't go as far. Vehicles are up 10%, and some other things are up a couple percent. That's not even touching on the problem. And I laugh that it's not talked about on a national level. As these businesses go out due to worker shortages in the United States of America and product shortage, it at least needs to be discussed. And that's a big part of the show today, I think, Mike, is talking about that. And, you know, today or tomorrow, I think they got another $300 going to families with the children under 17 for each child, I think, every month. And we can discuss that. But more money being handed out, businesses closing. You know, people got to face the brutal facts. And as the government or D.C., you know, for political reasons, they only want to have the media that's owned talk about certain things. That's not where we want to be. We've got to start uniting. We got to have one country, one goal, and we got to bring up our problems so we can attack them. And, Mike, I think you do a great job at that. So that's a big thing with the closings, you know, vehicle closings. I called West New York's largest dealership, Western Ford. They don't have one Ford Explorer that they could sell new. I was looking for a friend, and this vehicle shortage is real, too. Used vehicles very hard to find also. But all these things, Mike, just need to be talked about. So I love that you said money never sleeps. Money does make the world go round. Money is not my God. Livelihoods is what I'm all about. But we have to be concerned because if you don't have cash flow, if you don't have product to sell, if you don't have workers to sell the product, you can't stay in business.
You are, oh, my God. Mark, you said it all. Let me tell you something. Of all the people that you know that are elected, paid to do a job in Washington, D.C., is there any person that you would feel comfortable picking up the phone and trying to talk to about the things you just discussed with us?
You know, it's funny, Mike, when I look at you know, everybody, we always agreed, I think Larkin and Rich and you got to elect qualified political leaders. But, you know, I think of the farm work ethic we always used to talk about. We want people with farm work ethic. And a customer I just talked to, a new vendor who sells WSI equipment. It's great apparel. We're just starting to sell it. But this Joel was a farmer, came off a farm and built his business over 30 years. But I say, you know, who do I want in office? A farmer, a businessman, somebody that fought this, like Larkin says, if you haven't laid in bed wondering how you're going to make payroll tomorrow, you haven't done too much. It's tough stuff. And what I'm getting at is a lot of these political leaders are all about themselves. They're selfish, and we can say that. And they're just in their own worlds.
They're
worried about their portfolio. They're not worried about our children's future. They're not even in this world, Mike.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Some of them that I have tried to contact, and those that called me back, actually called me back, said to me, this is too complicated a subject to address at this point. We're not going to see it addressed in our lifetime. What that good elected person, 30 years in office, told me is, get over it. It's not going to change.
And Mike, I want to say, you know, I dream of the, you know, the political leader we elect that has this list. Larkin used to make that list, but we make a list of 11 top priority things. Maybe the first five they get elected for, and we put them in order: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's the most important? Okay, you know, we want security for our country. We want border patrol. We want clean voting. We want to know and trust our voting systems, which I don't, and I don't think 80 million people do. And that's another discussion I watched a little bit last night, and I think Larkin and Rich will take over on that. Our president, you know, they're talking about the voting rights and, you know, Texas and different things going on, but we want to know. I still don't. I'm not sold that we have a clean, efficient, uncorrupt voting system.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, as Larkin said a few months ago, and Rich also, they can tell you how many people voted, what you bought in some store through your credit card use, through your cell phone, who you called. They can give you a list if you request it. And we have all this idioticness going on over voting. You know, I never saw anything like it in my life. But
Mike, in the Capitol building, the riots and whatnot, they know who stepped on the door, where they went to the bathroom, and they can track them perfectly. So any corruption can be found.
Absolutely, but they don't want to point the finger in the right places, because you know what they say: a lot of time when you point your finger, you have three fingers pointing at yourself. Put your hand up. Put your finger out, and you have three fingers pointing at you. Maybe you are the problem, and that's what they don't want to hear.
On a positive note, you know, Made in America has never been more alive. The movement, the belief, I got people, customers coming in, they believe in it. But it does come down to we the people, and what we're talking about today, we the people have to make this change. If it's through better election, you know, better studies, like Rich said, who you're electing. But buying Made in America products, that consumer goes out today and makes change by looking at that product. If we can get everybody, like Larkin says, it's got to be important to everybody.
Absolutely.
To buy Made in America. And that's what I'm pushing a ton lately. Being specifically, it's got to be made in important, like Larkin said.
And, you know, as I said, money never sleeps. Also, money doesn't come out of your pocket unless you reach in to get it. Money doesn't come from your credit card unless you put it in the machine. I'm urging everybody to focus on what's made in America and question people. And I will say this without a question. I went into a store yesterday to get a client, an elderly client, a fan, because they're not able to have air conditioning. I went into Rite Aid, and they have no fan left that's made in America. That's Rite Aid. They have all foreign-made fans. And I called the guy over. I said, what happened to the Lasco fans that I've been buying for these people? He said, oh, everything went, but we have these. I said, yes. He said, they're on sale for $17. I said, open the pack up. I looked at the pack. Oh, my God. It's not going to last long. I mean, it was real chintzy, you know, plastic around the fan and all. I said, no, I can't give that to somebody. I can't allow them to pay. The other fan was $29, and that looked like a warhorse made right here in the USA. That's Lasco. So when you go shopping, good people, there are choices. Look for Lasco. At least 80% of that fan is made right here in the USA. How about we... Yes.
One other thing just before you go to the other guys. I heard about the Olympic Committee wanting to possibly change or redesign the flag or the brand of the American flag. Where are we in this country? That shouldn't even be a discussion. Change the American flag that everybody fought and died for?
That's you're right. You know,
last comment. I mean, don't even discuss that.
But wait, Mark, I have to tell you this. This morning it was announced on the radio that all of America's embassies are now highlighting and flying, some of them, Black Lives Matter flags.
All lives matter, Mike.
All lives matter. When I heard that, driving, it was not good for me to hear that because I said to myself, all lives matter. Where is that flag? All lives matter.
Period. We have that flag.
Well, send me one. I'm going to display
the American
it.
Flag.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I have to tell you, I mentioned it last week. I have never seen more American flags in front of houses, businesses, organizations. So people are getting the message.
And people have a problem with that flying the flag. Like Rich used to offer that ride to the airport. I'm with Rich.
I only want one flag to be our symbol at every embassy. No other flag is needed. That is the American flag. Our people fought all over the world. Our people honored our flag. We pledge allegiance to the flag. We don't have to pledge allegiance to any other flag, and I object big time that any flag should be flown except the American flag. How about we turn to Larkin? We didn't hear from him last week. Larkin, how you doing, guy?
I'm doing very well, Michael. And I missed last week because I missed.
You were out partying the night before.
Yeah. I wish I had an excuse, but I don't even have a good excuse.
Was beer involved, Larkin?
No. No. I promise it wasn't beer. Might have been my golf clubs. It couldn't have been them because I don't even know where they are. Listen, I missed last week, and I missed an opportunity to speak about so many things. But let me carry on the message from Mark. Before I do that, I want to tell you one of the most ridiculous. We have reached a new level of absolute absurdity in this country. Flying a black flag. Black flags matter over embassies off of our American soil is offensive. It's not absurd. It's just flat out offensive. And so it's as though no other life matters except black lives. It makes no sense. But here's a level of absurdity that is typical of and will be a part of the memory of the Biden administration. There's a fluttering little bug known as a gypsy moth. And guess what? It's in the market for a new name after the world's largest organization of insect experts announced that it would stop using the moniker because it contains an ethnic slur. We are renaming the gypsy moth because it has that's so low. I can't even imagine.
What ethnic group gets offended with gypsy? I don't even understand that.
Well,
who am I offending when I say gypsy?
Henry, I'm offended three times now you said it.
I don't even know who that offends.
Yeah.
I have to look up the definition of gypsy now.
Entomological Society of America. they made a recent announcement, and it's all part of a broader decision within that scientific community about the equality of naming. So what am I going to do about the Asian petunias I'm growing in my backyard? Are they now no longer Asian petunias?
They're already on your way to your house.
Larkin, it's getting insane. But the thing is, we have the ability to keep our eye focused on American made by buying American made that the people see that they mean business at the cash register. The merchandisers want to step on all of us.
That was my comedy relief. I hope you all appreciated it.
Very good.
Thank you, George Carlin. I got that out of the book of George Carlin, Common Sense. the outdoor furniture business, pretty brisk business in this country. There, every town has at least one outdoor furniture store or a hardware store that specializes in outdoor furniture. But as somebody that was involved in the industry for a short period of time, and my best friend is at the heart of it, Bruce Bassett Powell, he informed me this morning that while March and April were great months in order taking and everything, outdoor furniture stores have no product. All of the furniture is manufactured in Asia, in Indonesia. None of it, for all intents and purposes, is really manufactured in America. What those countries have kept up kind of to a small degree with the orders, but there is a shipping crisis.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And this shipping crisis has created a condition in the outdoor furniture business that all they have on the floor is last year's furniture, which didn't sell because nobody went outside. But now they're slowly selling their way out of that. And my friend said, if you want to really see something funny, go into a good, strong outdoor furniture store that specializes in outdoor furniture and take a look at them and feel sorry for the condition of their floor. They're not showing anything. They sell out of it, it's gone. And they expect recovery of the outdoor business furniture in sometime, best case, late 2022 or 2023. Here's an entire industry that is in peril. Their first mistake was deciding that somebody thousands and thousands of ocean miles away could be their manufacturer without there being any supply problems. But now it's not the Chinese that aren't building it or the Indonesians that aren't doing all of our hardwood furniture work. It's that they can't get it from their shores, from their docks, to our docks.
Right.
Interesting.
I just want to add one thing. We sell Adams furniture, which is made in Pennsylvania, and it's a plastic. But here's a problem with the leather they sent last week and our Westpaw dog toys, which are people believe and love their pets. The plastic resin was at about 50 cents a pound before the pandemic. They thought it would stabilize by August at 96 per pound. It's at 137 as of last week, and there's no end in sight. So I only bring that up. I hear you on the shipping problem. It's a crisis, which isn't talked about on national TV. And then you've got the place in Pennsylvania that builds it, but now the resin's at $1.37 a pound, and there's a shortage back because of the deep freeze at Texas, too, with the polypropylene plants. So a lot ties to this. This should all be open discussion on national TV.
Yeah, I can't believe that it's not.
What is the president doing about any of this?
Right, I haven't heard nothing.
Other than going to Philadelphia yesterday and getting involved in every state's business of how they want their people in their state voting, what laws they're passing. Leave them alone. They're at least, Big Joe, they are at least passing legislation. You get what I mean, Joe? They're getting something done, Joe. And here's the other thing. Stacey Abrams and Senator Warnock from the wonderful state of Georgia last night probably had the Guignons sit down with a cold beer and watch the Major League All-Star Game, which should have been played in their stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, and was driven out because of some Democratic lies. They actually moved the All-Star Game from Georgia to Colorado, and Colorado has stiffer election laws than Georgia. Mm-hmm. Warnock.
That's right.
Warnock and Abrams are an embarrassment to this country, and they cost the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia millions and millions of dollars of profit opportunity and taxes. It is why would you make a hero out of somebody like that? I don't get it. And last but not least, my 9 and 6-year-old granddaughters, who have been spending all day with me here in my house, which is more fun than I know how to explain, but they decided to set up my one of my guest bedrooms into a store, and they got their little fake cash register. They set everything up. They put a price on it. They have things on the door that say "sorry, closed," and "hooray, open." And once they open the store, I got to go in with a canvas bag, and I got to buy things, and they serve food. So I went through that whole thing and just had a blast. And before it was all over, I said, you got to clean the store up. You got to get ready for business tomorrow. And I said, oh, you're right. So they closed the store, and they finished it off again. Stuff spread all over the room, displays. I mean, they're really getting a great lesson in retail. So when they got here yesterday morning, they went into their store, and nothing was there. And I said, girls, you got a retail lesson there. Now I'm going to give you a lesson in urban economics. You've been looted.
I love it.
And if it hadn't been my own bedroom door, I would have busted it in.
Oh, Larkin, even, that is wonderful.
That's real.
They even stole your cash register.
Yeah. And Larkin, that's called living the dream. Things happen every day.
Well, and what was their reaction, Larkin, when you told them that?
Well, they were kind of surprised. And I decided that 9 and 6 was probably a little early to give them a lesson in urban economics. So I left well enough alone and helped them reset up their store.
You know, Larkin, we were talking about what Bruce told you about the furniture industry. Do you feel this is an opportunity, even if it takes a year or two? Is this an opportunity for companies in the United States to set up and do business? I mean, let's grow up already from this. This is an eye opener, but it's also an opportunity.
Here's the thing that I was reading and getting into this, a whole condition of the store, so I could bring it up today. And I read an accompanying article that the largest manufacturer of outdoor umbrellas in the fabric that they're made with, Sunbrella being the most popular one, the largest outdoor umbrella manufacturer, is in the midst of building two, not one, but two factories to build these umbrellas, to make these umbrellas in China. So even when the problem resolves itself, you want an outdoor umbrella, you're going to buy it. It's going to say made in China. Period. Amen.
Well, that is what this particular elected official told me. You have to get over it. It was done 30 and 35 years ago. It's going to be almost impossible to change it. And he did agree. Only way it's going to change if America's consumers direct their dollars to American made and just hold back. You said that a few weeks ago, Larkin. If the price is too high and you don't want it, don't buy it. You remember that?
Yeah.
We were talking about the plywood and everything else and the 2x4s. You don't hold, if you can't do without it, that's one thing. If you can, hold back until more normal situations turn around.
Three days ago, Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, I can't remember. A guy came out through a big box company that we shouldn't be naming brands like that, but I didn't go high, I went low. I had this big box company send a roofer out to take a look at my roof. And we looked at it, and I won't get into the complications I've had with it, and it's a little on the old side. So when's the smart time to make the change, and how much is it going to cost, and what's happening to asphalt roofing, and blah, 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 blah. And this guy looked at it, and he came down, and he said, I'm going to work you up a... And I said, do that for me, but I really need you to understand that my full intention is to hire a Chinese roofing company to replace the roof. I appreciate your help and your knowledge, but he looked at me like I had a fourth eyeball. And he said, what did you say? And I said, I'm hiring a Chinese company to re-roof my house. Why would you do that? And I said, well, it's like everything else. Why wouldn't I? I mean, they're cheaper. They're our friends in trade. I mean, everything you buy is made in China.
Oh, God. Very well said, Larkin. That is great. That is great.
And I was getting ready to get in his car, his truck. And I said, listen, I'm really only kidding you. Obviously, I want your business. And there is no such, well, maybe there is a Chinese roofing company, but they'll probably have to come over here from China. But this country has absolutely no immigration law, so they probably let them in, fix the roof, and let them go home and say thank you very much. And by the way, enjoy spending those American dollars you're taking back to China with you.
Yep. Yeah. You know, Larkin, as I listen to some of the people in my travels, I don't see anybody in the area of elected leaders in Washington who we pay, and we pay them well, and their staffs are paid very well to do what they want to do. They're not giving us anything when they say, well, you're getting this benefit, or it's somehow or other is going to have to be paid by us, our children and grandchildren, and their children and grandchildren. Better if they said, we're going to look out for the future of working age and able-bodied Americans so that our country will thrive well beyond our time. But nobody says that. Everybody says, Michael, get over it. It happened. They moved outside the United States of America. They're not going to come back. And then my response is, well, maybe it's time for us to make competitive products. We don't need all those brand names. Why can't we have a Larkin Conley soap, or a Larkin Conley something, or a Michael Blehosh, or Mike's, whatever? What do we need to have some big brand product name on a thing for people to have their eye go to that? I think there's no competition anymore in the United States of America. Mark, you're selling some furniture. That furniture company, let's see what can be done for next season for him to double the locations where his stuff is sold. This is the problem. There's no competition. There's products. They're all foreign made. People say, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Do without it until you can find something that is American made. And by the way, most of the time, the buying will end. You won't need it. You'll say, I didn't need it. Thank God it's going to be cool weather or whatever. Maybe it's time. And there's nobody in the media also. This is another big problem. Most of the people that repeat my commentaries that I do on Saturday, they use it in their public service time, so it doesn't look like they themselves are involved in the campaign. It's like it's this message that's paid for to the station. There are some that do it live and read the text and, you know, add things, and I honor them and I always compliment them on the broadcast. But the major media has a big problem with all the advertisements because so many of the companies have major investments from foreign countries. It's a very clever way that they did it.
So, again, congratulations to Mark. I have made an official move. I was strong CBS, and the woman they put on there, whose opinion I know, she's a news reporter, and I know her opinion. Those two don't mix. So I moved over to NBC. Pretty good coverage, pretty decent, but kind of entertainment-based, entertaining type news. So I switched to David Muir, and I am a freak fan of his now. I am absolutely a fan of his. I record the program every day, sometimes watch some of the stories a second time. But his Made in America stories are wild. They're nuts. They're crazy. And we need more of that.
Yes.
We need to promote David Muir, and we need to promote anybody that's willing to do that.
And
here's the answer. Step number one to fixing our problems. I'm telling you, we have to go this deep into the cellar of this foundation to fix this. Is term limits. I just signed a petition for term limits in Florida. We have to have term limits. These people in Washington, D.C. are worried about nothing but being reelected and reelected and reelected and having million-dollar operating budgets. And that's got to stop. They're not going to become effective until they become statesmen. And not one of them, including Nancy Pelosi, cares a damn about America before she cares about her job and the money she's paid. And by the way, her husband made a purchase, bought some stock and sold it, and made $5.8 million on companies that were being reviewed by the Intelligence Committee to be passed to become customers of the United States of America. He bought every one of them based on knowledge. Oh, no, I can't say that because nobody has any proof that Nancy Pelosi said anything to him. But the fact that he bought all winners and made $4 million, it's just an indictment of the Pelosi family. It's just that simple.
You know, the term limits deal is so important. It should
it's
be
number one.
It should be six terms in the Congress. That's 12 years and two terms in the Senate. We're trying to make it look like it. It sounds good because some of those are in there. If you look up, Larkin, I'd love if you would have the opportunity to look up who were the longest serving members of the House and Senate. You will find people in there for 57 years, 54 years. Some of them were unable to stop being up for election. They couldn't help themselves. But it was our people.
There's 535 members.
Right. But the longest one, anybody over 40 years, I'd like to hear just those few, like Strom Thurmond and some of them. They were in there when they were in their early 30s, and when they passed in their 90s, they were still there.
That guy from West Virginia, what's his name? I met the guy. I had lunch with him. I can't think of
Robert Byrd.
Robert Byrd. Thank you. Thank you. Robert Byrd, yeah, I mean, he was 93 when he left, or 4 when he left.
Well, somebody said about Robert Byrd and another gentleman that was in there for 57 years, we didn't want to make him feel bad as he was getting on in age. Now, that's not a good answer to that. Robert Byrd should have a term limit. You get 12 years of service, thank you, and by the way, it should be no pension for doing that service. You can then go to another job and earn a pension from that. These pensions for people in the offices, people in all these caucus, people taking the notes and all, this is where this whole thing got out of hand. There's nobody, by the way, Larkin, Rich, and Mark, there is no committee in the House or Senate to keep jobs in the United States of America. I have been told that that is the job of businesses in America, not the job of elected people to even look, you know, to have something happen. Business leaders are the people who should be speaking up. If they left, that's their business.
Before we go to Rich, I want to say, it doesn't have anything to do with the pension. They don't pay into Social Security. They get their own pension. So just eliminate their pension and make them pay into Social Security like
right.
you and I do.
Right, exactly. And it's over.
You think Social Security would be fixed, lickety-split, if those guys had to live off of it once they're retired?
Well, I think, to be fair, we should push as many of these things into Social Security so that there's more equality across the board. And if you then, after your service to America, want to go to a company and where they have a pension plan, well, that's God bless you. How about we turn to Rich Logis, who I know is ready, willing, and able to speak up.
I got to enjoy an extra espresso listening to you guys getting ready. Good morning to our listeners and everyone. Well, Michael, I have a statement to make. It's not really an original thought. Maybe there's a little bit of originality in how I present it. Mark, I tend to look at everything through the lens of sales, right? You know, like I asked a married guy last night, are you married? And he said, yeah. And I said, you had to sell your wife on you, right? Like everything in the world is selling to some extent, even when there's not a monetary exchange, Mark. In every transaction, human interaction, someone's buying, someone's selling. And in listening to all of this, like we talk week in and week out, Michael, like our numerous conversations on a daily basis, what I have come to realize, and I guess I won't call it quite an epiphany, maybe I always sort of intuitively or subconsciously thought this, but some recent work that I've done has really thrust it to the forefront of thought for me. What I have come to understand, Mark, is that it is not uniquely even an American problem. People can more easily be sold out of freedom than into it. They can be more easily sold out of freedom than they can be sold into freedom. Now, we just celebrated, Michael, our 4th of July, right? Our nation's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And what most Americans don't know, and by most I mean like, oh, I don't know, 99.2%, is that there were approximately 2 million colonists in the original 13 colonies. We had a total, not at any one time, Mark, but in total, approximately 10% fight in the Continental Army. So the other 90% said, I'm good. The monarchy could be worse. I'm not buying what you're selling. I'm not buying being sold into freedom. So this isn't a unique problem, Mark, right, that we have right now. And here in the state of Florida, which, Larkin, I need to have a conversation, Larkin, with you, because I don't want it to be such an informal introduction. And, Mark, I need to have a conversation with you because I need Made in America clothing. And I'm not going to mention a name because I don't have his consent, but someone who doesn't live in the state of Florida has financially supported our new organization, SOSS Save Our Sunshine State, which you can get to at SOSSFL.com.
Yeah, I read it, Rich. Very good job.
And thank you, Mark. And that's why we're going to have a comment. You know, we're going to talk. And what I say to everyone here, I ask them, they say, Rich, I'm very concerned about all the people coming here. I'm very concerned that they're going to change our state. Take our, you know, we're going to have a state income tax, Mark, and they're going to take away school choice, infringe upon our right to keep and bear arms. And I listen to them, Mark, and I listen, and I listen, and I listen, and I let them go on and rant and rave with their Jeremiads. And then I ask them this question at the end. Are you concerned enough to make a contribution, make phone calls, or knock on doors in the sweltering August Florida heat? If the answer to those questions are all no's, then you're not really that concerned, which means you're either lying to me or you're insulting my intelligence. And I hate when my intelligence is insulted, Larkin. I would rather you just be honest and say, Rich, I'm just hoping you're going to do it for me. So I asked them, Larkin, and I don't care where you are, Mark, what are you going to do to advance freedom? Not what your governor or your party or whomever. What are you yourself going to do about it? And if the answer is kids eat free, then you're not really that serious about it. Why is that, Mark? Because it is easier to sell somebody out of freedom than into it. Being free has a great cost to it, Mark, monetary or otherwise. But you know what else has a great cost to it? Serfdom. That's what I say to everybody. Freedom, you have to pay a steep cost, financial or otherwise. But you know what, Michael? You have to pay a steep cost in serfdom as well. So everybody has to pick which of the difficulties they want. And the answer, Mark, to the question you asked, what's happening in the country, the idea of changing the flag, what is happening? I have the answer for you. The answer is this. The country is moving in an accelerated rate and path toward simple majority democracy. Can anyone name a simple majority democracy that didn't spectacularly crash and burn in the end? Human beings have roamed the earth, Mark, for 5 million years. There hasn't been a simple majority democracy that's lasted. So my basis of my argument and my evidence is 5 million years old. How old is your evidence?
Well said.
How old is yours? Not you, Mark, you directly. I'm asking rhetorically. Now, the irony, Michael, the irony of democracy, which is a terrible model of governance, it's just the least terrible of all the terrible models. The irony of it all is that I still happen to believe, not to be, you know, utopian and Pollyannish and you know, delusional here, I still happen to believe that the majority of voting age Americans, Larkin, what they care about are their kids, their money, and their freedoms. That's what I believe. That's what I still think. And I know, Mark, that 82 million Americans did not vote in the November election. Okay? 82 million.
Wait, say that again?
82, Michael. 82 million Americans who could have voted did not. The irony of democracy is that the way to actually advance opportunities and freedoms and safety and security is you got to get more people participating who actually do care and give a damn about their children, their money, and their freedoms. That's how I look at it, Mark. If somebody isn't in the game, what good is his skill set? What good is it? What good is your skill set sitting your ass on the pine? What is it? Tell me. It is harder, Michael, to sell people into freedom than to get them out of it. And that right there is a dilemma that has faced us from the moment that this country was founded and formed, Michael. So that's my rant. I didn't see a burning bush, but I drank a damn lot of coffee today.
You're not, Rich, you're not selling them into freedom. You're selling them into effort. That's why they're not doing it.
I agree. Henry, I agree. But again, everything has a cost. There is a cost to freedom, monetary or otherwise, just as there is a cost, monetary or otherwise, into serfdom, into taking that freedom away. That is a problem that we have struggled with from before the time our nation was formed, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to struggle with it today. Henry, absolutely right. The work needed. But again, this is why I get really angry, Mark, at people who tout, they're conservatives, and they tout self-reliance and self-sufficiency and fiscal conservatism. And yet, Larkin, so many of the ones I meet, the ones who ask, how are we going to pay for it? They just want you and me, Larkin, to pay for it. They just want you and me, Mark, to do the work and the effort. Well, what about you? What are you going to do? Forget about Logis and Larkin and Henry and Mark and Michael. You yourself, what are you going to do about it? And last point, Michael, because I've made a commitment to improve my health overall, getting old sucks, but you know what? Sometimes the Ferrari just needs a little tune-up. I've decided to start a new health and wellness regimen, and guess what, Mark? A lot of the products that I'm taking, and again, there's no blue pills here. Thank God we're not that far down the downward spiral, okay? But they're predominantly made in the U.S. So I have a regular, steady supply of products that I'm getting that will be made in the U.S. And you know what? I'm not saying this, Michael, to tout myself on the back or, hey, look at me, Captain America over here. But you know what? Costs slightly a little bit more money, Michael. And I, in case anyone's wondering, money comes at a premium today. So you know what, Mark? I decided to spend a little bit more, maybe not a little bit, maybe a little bit more than a little bit. Why? Because it's important to me to support companies that are here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Absolutely.
And now we need those companies more than ever. Any one of us could ride down any boulevard where there's a shopping mall or whatever and see stores closed. Whether they want to be closed or not, many of them have gone bankrupt because of all the programs that were offered and they weren't eligible for them. They had to go down the drain. They decided, this is not for me. I'm just going to sit back and do something else when I can and work for someone else. I'm not going to try to be in business. So our 31 million businesses in America has dropped, and every one of us, no matter where you live, can drive down one of those streets. Let's not let another business die. Let's not let another American working family suffer. Let's not let another boy or girl leave school without knowing what they're going to do after graduation. These are things that should be discussed in Washington. If they don't, they say they can't order businesses around, okay. They can order schools around because they are offering quite a bit of money to the schools through the education federal funds. They can say, we want more of those job fields back on the curriculum. Are they doing it? No.
And Mike, with the PPP programs and the EIDL and the PPP they had, and that was based on payroll, they're going to find out the fall of the pandemic. They're going to need a plan and a program sooner than later to save a lot of businesses because of worker shortage and product shortage. And if they don't, there'll be a lot of businesses out, and it will affect the economy, and it will make world news. That being said, I wanted to say, a few things. I've got a project in line right now at General Welding. We're waiting for cylinders, and the cylinders happen to be from overseas. I can't finish a product. I can't collect my money. you know, I'm at a standstill because there's no answer on when these cylinders are coming for these huge trailers that we're building. But a lot of different things might going on that, you know, we discussed today that I think just should be at the national level. I think, you know, we cover it. Why can't they?
That's right. You know, we relocated 30 million jobs. Let me say that again. 30 million jobs that could be in America were relocated overseas. That means our American working age and able-bodied people were not offered those opportunities, which caused heartaches, poverty, and everything else affected with no jobs. If there were jobs, and there's no people being able to replace the retiring people. Through our agency, people are pleading to get people into jobs. They call up and say, I said, well, we're not into that at this point because there's no people around. No, you got to get us people. Otherwise, I'm going to have to close. Please help me out. I always help you people out. Whenever you needed people to have a job, I always accepted them. Now I'm pleading for you to find people and get them to me. It's unbelievable. I've never imagined we would have anything like this in this country. And we're wasting our time, our money, our future. And as I said earlier, all of these bills, all this giveaway stuff is going to come back to haunt the people of the future. And that means our children, grandchildren, their children, and their grandchildren, because nothing in life is free and money never sleeps. Well, with that in mind, I see that it's getting near that time. I want to say a special thank you to all of our great panel members, Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and please do check out all the information on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. In fact, download the email and send it out to family members and friends so we get more and more and more people involved. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and your family. Stay well and be happy. And please go out and look for the American Made label.
Thank you. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.